Noon straight up. It is Tuesday. It's 2 days before the first round of the NFL draft. And boy, do we got a lot to unpack with our friend Tommy Kern of NBC Sports Boston. Tommy is brought to us by Dr. Matthew Lopresti at Leonard Hair Transplant Associates, the hair doctor of Tommy Kern at 1-800-GET-HAIR. By Awaken 180 Weight Loss, become your own success story by dropping the weight holding you back. It starts with just one call to Awaken 180, and by Unified Office, where they help businesses maximize every incoming call at unifiedoffice.com. Tommy Kern on the Harbor One Hotline. Tom, good afternoon.
Andrew, how are you? Christian, how are you?
Hello, Tommy. It's draft week.
I know. Do you yearn, Kern, for the way the draft used to be? 3 rounds on Saturday, 4 on Sunday, or do you like the setup now where they've just, well, for lack of a better term, hoard it out?
I kind of like it this way because the first round is obviously so important and they're getting such impact players that being able to watch it unfold slowly and digest it instead of having to digest the first 3 picks. I mean, they could do the first 2 rounds. I think when you get to the 3rd round, there's obviously good players, but it gets watered down. But I like it. First round, then 2nd and 3rd are big-time team-building rounds, and they're set apart too. So I like it.
Yeah, so do me. So do I. I like the whole production of it, and I do like the fact that they drag it out. So, all right, so I guess we might as well just get to it, right? If the draft is on Thursday, I mean, what's your gut tell you that they're going to do?
Cornerback. I think that they would be best served by taking one of the deepest positions in the draft for a position where they are lacking a long, athletic, erasing-type corner, and they're there for them. So they could take that, and we've seen in the past how the domino effect on a defense can take place when you have a cornerback who can take people away, and you're going to get them at the top of the first round. In the first half of the first round, you can even get them, even all the way to 20, so if they trade back. So to me, it'd be cornerback, but with the number of teams and the number of people who are now saying this isn't a good draft, I could see teams moving out of the top 10 and create great opportunity for a Patriots team with 11 picks and 4 between 1 and 135.
Tom, do you think the way the board sets up in front of New England will dictate what they do? Like, to me, Tom, they flirted with Will Levis because if he's on the board, they got to know how good he is for them to be able to say to Tampa, you need to give us this to move up because you're going to go get a quarterback. Is it all about the quarterbacks, or do you think there could be a different roadmap and the Patriots are sitting there at 13 and going, wow, we didn't either expect this D lineman to be here or we can slide down and still get the person we want? Is that all overblown? What's your read on that?
No, I think it's definitely dependent upon who goes early. If you get all 4 quarterbacks going in the first 5 to 10 picks, then you've driven down a number of players, including edge players, who the Patriots, you know, have a sneaky need there because Uche is up after this year and Judon is up after next year. So it's a very talented edge draft. If those guys get driven down, and there's a lot of those as well, you're going to have the pick of the litter there. So, you know, all those 4 quarterbacks, Levis, Young, Stroud, and Anthony Richardson, if those 4 go, and then the Jalen Carters and all the other defensive ends start to move off, then you see Christian Gonzalez perhaps going down. Then you see Peter Skoronski, the offensive tackle from Northwestern, perhaps going down. So I think the Patriots are in a great, great spot.
Okay, so Aaron Rodgers, that deal is finally done. He's officially a Jet. What's your thought on that as far as, you know, what the Jets will be able to do? Because I'm not sure. Like, for me, I'll just tell you how I feel. Like, I'm not, you know, necessarily shaking in my boots, but it's an obvious upgrade. I'm curious to think how impactful you think he is, not only for the Jets, but the AFC East.
I think it'll be massive. And if we woke up this morning and hadn't had the past 3 months and found out that Aaron Rodgers was going to the Jets, we'd say, holy crap. I think the holy crap aspect of it is gone, and we've kind of parsed it now to the point where we already knew it was happening, and we're kind of looking for the holes in the deal. To me, last night, yesterday, the conversation about, wow, the Jets got fleeced. My friend Mike Florio at Pro Football Talk said the Jets got fleeced. How can you get fleeced when you add one of the 6 greatest quarterbacks of all time, who was an MVP 2 years ago, You haven't been to the Super Bowl since 1969. You haven't been able to solve the position. And you go and you get a guy for a team that's ready-made to be a conference championship contender. It's a layup. I don't care what they gave up. And they really gave up the 40th overall pick this year and something that will amount to probably between the 18th and 28th pick next year, depending upon how the Jets will do. That was a friggin' layup.
Here's the thing, Tom, that Fourier and I were touching on earlier and want to get your thoughts. When Tom Brady walked into Tampa, he put his imprint on that football team beginning in the offseason. Does Aaron Rodgers have that kind of impact, or have the Jets just become another team that might be good, and if they catch the right breaks, they've got somebody there who can help them win but won't drive them to win the way a Brady would?
Yeah, or a Manning. I mean, those are the two best examples of a player joining a team and driving them in a particular direction. You know, you could look at Russell Wilson as the cautionary tale. Personality-wise, would Rodgers and Wilson have more in common than, you know, the shepherds that Manning and Brady were, where people would just follow behind them, and by dint of their personality, people would just say, we have to do what he says. I mean, I don't know if that really happened with Wilson, who was his own executive in some ways, and with Rodgers, who's so detached. So if he embraces the leadership role, embraces the opportunity to work with all of their wide receivers, all of their talent, and he gets enough protection, he should have that kind of culture change impact. But he does have a history as well of being a little mercurial.
Well, with that being said, have you changed your opinion of where the Patriots fall in line with all these, not just in the AFC East, but in the AFC overall when it comes to all the great quarterbacks that are in this league, all these young guys as far as their ability to make the playoffs? Have you changed your mind on whether they'll be able to do it or not? Because I feel like you're with me. Like, the answer is yes, they will make the playoffs.
Yeah.
So you haven't changed.
Matt Jones is going to join that group of quarterbacks that people say, well, he's really pretty good, you know. He is going to rejoin that group. He's going to pick up where he left off in week 12 of 2021 or so and propel this team to being a hell of a lot better than people think. And what if they add that corner? You know, what if they add that kind of shutdown corner? Yes, they're missing McCourty. Duggar's a year older, though. You got very good edge players. You're shoring up the offensive line. To me, it's a team that is at 7.5 in Vegas for total wins, which is mind-numbing to me.
Oh, yeah, I go over all day. Is there a position that would shock you that if they took it at 14, outside of quarterback?
Shocked, but interested to see if it happens. Shocked, but I would say, well, how about shocked, but shouldn't be shocked? How about Bijan Robinson or Dalton Kincaid or Michael Mayer?
Bijan Robinson, Tommy, I love that dude. I think it would be the first, Fourier and I, Hart and I talked about it yesterday. I wouldn't know what position to give him. I'd try to make him a W weapon because he can catch it, he can run it, he can do a lot of things that, for one guy who you haven't had in this offense maybe ever.
There have been Marshall Faulk type comparisons where you can use him in that vein, split him out, because even though his reception numbers at Texas were not impressive, I've read evaluations and word around the league from scouts with different draft preview stuff is, you know, he might have the best hands and ball skills in the draft. So even though the numbers, I think he had 12, 19, and 26 for receptions at Texas, he's viewed as somebody who's very, very talented and runs very good routes. Plus, he's a very willing blitz pickup guy. You know, again, from everything I gather, I haven't gone extremely deep on Bijan Robinson, but he looks like, to me, one of the cleanest, safest bets out there. But a safe bet at running back means what? 4 years? Can you get 8 years out of a running back? That's really hard. But if you can use him in a way complementary with Ramondre Stevenson, use him in a way where you're splitting him out, using him in that way as a third down back too, when he's not getting, say, 170, 180 carries, then you really have something on offense that makes you faster, that gives you a matchup problem that they don't have.
So we're talking to Tom Eakern. Now, Tom, I'm not sure if you saw this or not, but we played it a little bit earlier. Matthew Judon on the NFL Network kind of giving his own, like, opinion on who he thinks the Patriots should pick. And he said wide receiver out of TCU, Quentin Johnston. I thought it was interesting that a defensive guy was actually almost politicking. Now, maybe he was just playing TV, politicking for an offensive player, where I think he should sit there and be more concerned and hope that there's reinforcements on the defensive side.
Yeah, or on the other hand, too, he's sitting there and saying to himself, well, I mean, how much competition do I want over here at Edge? But that's I would think that Judon feels fairly safe in his role. But to me, Quentin Johnston is the one guy who stands apart as that long-striding field stretcher. Can he be, you know, a Davante Adams type, as opposed to, you know, a smaller guy? He can be that outside player that you would hope Devontae Parker would be, but Parker doesn't get really any separation. So there, again, there's a website, the 33rd team, that has former scouts, former GMs. They have him, believe it or not, as the number one rated prospect on their board. So that's why this draft is going to be awesome. That's why this draft is going to be a blast. Because teams are like, I don't know if these guys are good or not. And that, to me, is opportunity for the Patriots, because they're always unconventional in who they think is good.
So, and the other thing is, as far as the draft goes, is there like an uptick in chatter when it comes to, I feel like this is where the games are really getting played. Like the quarterback out of Kentucky, Will Levis, like suddenly he's like now like the guy everybody's looking at like as a dark horse guy that may overtake some of the other two guys, the Bryce Youngs and the C.J. Strouds of the world. Like, is now the time when, like, everybody is all in on misinformation?
Yeah, it feels that way. When I read the Will Levis odds had dropped to like 5-1 from 50-1 to be the number one overall pick. And he's, you know, you still have Bryce Young as the overwhelming favorite, but he's leapfrogged certainly C.J. Stroud, who, again, that's the conversation out there. Bob McGinn from Go Long, a website. Bob McGinn has for decades done outstanding draft work. You know, reported that the cognitive tests that were done for C.J. Stroud were knee-bucklingly bad. Levis, Bryce Young was like a 98, was ridiculously high. Levis and Anthony Richardson were very high as well. So, you know, I don't think that you can say, hey, that's not true, because every team has the information as to what this S2, I believe is the name of the test, what this S2 test is. So, if it were not true, then every team would say, well, what difference does that make? You can't drive a guy down with a bogus report, but every team, you can't say, oh, that guy runs a 5.3 when everybody saw him run a 4.4. Who cares? So it'll be interesting to see how this goes, but C.J. Stroud's stock is plummeting. Does somebody benefit from that conversation?
Tommy, I know the Patriots have the 46th pick overall. That is right in the middle of the second round. They also have a high third round pick. Is trading for a wide receiver like Jerry Jeudy off the table for you with either the second or that high third rounder if Denver starts to blink, or have we moved on from the delusions of getting a wide receiver elsewhere?
They were so emphatic. George Payton and Sean Payton both were so emphatic in Denver about Jerry Jeudy not going anywhere that I can't imagine that should be something we are going to spend a lot of time wishing on. I mean, I'm wondering what you guys think if they go ahead and take a tight end instead of a wideout. I mean, there's so many skill spots here. Tight end is better than wideout in this draft.
Oh,
Bijan Robinson, you know, running back Bijan Robinson. You know, you don't want to take a running back, but he's so friggin' good that you have to double think. You have to double think on so much of this.
Yeah, I tell you what. Listen, Tom, I love the draft. I love it. I love the anticipation of it. Even as you're talking, I'm like, man, there's always something that happens, and people are like, oh, my God. I never saw that coming. And I'll end my question with this is, you know, all these other cities are getting to host the draft, right? Could you ever see a possibility where the Crafts somehow try to, you know, get the draft here? And if they did get it, where would they even have it? Where would they hold it?
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure that they would love to as they continue to revamp
the
entire stadium.
But you wouldn't have it at a stadium. I feel like this is something that would be done, like, in the city somewhere.
Yeah, you're right. You do it at a spot. I don't know. Foxborough Center, it's beautiful down there.
Foxborough Center. Yeah, picture a place. Center.
Sure. It's set up at the, the Xfinity Center or something. Oh, that's true, Tommy. They could have water fire. I mean, hell, that mall's half empty. They could set that. They could set it up
that
in there.
That would be cool. That down in Providence?
You know what? I just had you could do it at the seaport. Do it on that pavilion.
Oh, there you go. Right by Greg Hill's palatial estate.
There you go.
Yeah, you could do it. Or at the Greg Hill palatial estate.
The fact is that it would probably, if they can have it in Kansas City with, you know, they in Chicago, and, you know, they can have it in New England.
It'll be in London before it comes here.
True. Germany.
The way, and Tommy, I do think tight end is in play in probably the third round. Feels like there's some depth there. And I got to say, like, there are still some needs, but it isn't the, oh my God, you have to draft this guy, which adds that layer of intrigue. Tommy Curran, of course, will be covering fit for, we'll be talking to him here on WEEI. And of course, he'll be all over it for NBC Sports Boston. Tommy, thank you, friend. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks, guys. Take care.
There goes Tom Curran.